Conference record has joined the conference.
Hello, this is Heather Van Cura, and we have an Adopt the JSR program call today with the Java User Group leaders. I'll be starting the meeting, and then we'll be having speakers today, Martijn Verberg from the London Java Community and Bruno Souza from SoJava, as well as Arun Gupta from Oracle, the Java EE team. And just as a reminder, we're recording the call, so if you'd like to mute your line for the call, it's *6 and then #6 to unmute your line. So starting with the materials on Adopt the JSR, slide 2, Adopt the JSR was introduced late in 2011, about a year ago, by the London Java community and SoJava. And it is a global Java user group-led initiative to improve Java standards, to encourage groups of Java user group members to work on JSRs. And they have a website, adoptthejsr.org, that directs to java.net project, where you can find the full details. And in this meeting, Martijn and Bruno are going to walk us through what the program is, why we're doing it, and step by step how to get involved. And then we have Arun Gupta, who has put together some great pointers on how you can adopt and influence the Java EE 7 JSRs that are nearing completion at this time but are in need of your support. So at this time for slide 4, I think I'll turn it over to Martijn to walk us through the details of the program.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Heather, should I try and do it from my desktop, or are you just happy rolling through the slides as I go? I think we're going to try and work this out. Sorry for the delay, folks.
I'll go ahead and do it until I figure out how to turn presenter over to you. I've lost
that. Yeah, sure, no worries. Okay, so slide 4, for those who are following it on the WebEx, basically covers why Java user groups should get involved, and the reason why ourselves and SoJava got involved to begin with. There are lots of different motivations. We started out because we'd been spending too much time in London pubs complaining about various Java standards and how we didn't like them. And we thought we should actually perhaps do something a bit more productive and useful and help these JSRs out. So one of the key things is that with new things like cloud technology, big data technology, mobile technology coming into the industry, we need to get involved to help Java as an ecosystem move forward to meet that pace of change. So we no longer have the case where Java can sort of sit on its laurels for several years and wait. We as developers need Java to support these new standards and these new ideas, and unless we get involved, that just certainly won't happen in time. And another good reason for your JUGs to be involved is to allow your members to be at the forefront of the new technology that is coming in. There has certainly been an awful lot of excitement in London from our members who, you know, get to play with the latest JEE7 specs, such as WebSocket, JSON, HTML5 integration, all these, you know, great new relevant technologies that us as developers want to use these days. Probably the biggest impact that we will have as a program, and the biggest reason why we want you to join in, is we need the Java standards to be practical. We need to, as developers, open up our Eclipse IDE or our NetBeans IDE or IntelliJ for those who are fortunate enough to get a license, and use these APIs and enjoy using them and have those APIs make sense. So we don't have to search archaic blog posts or Stack Exchange every 2 minutes just to use something as simple as JSF or JMS as an example. So it's really important that we help support that sometimes people who are having to put in a lot of the theory to start with, it's really important that us as Java user groups help provide them the practical feedback and the practical experience that we have as developers to make the standards, you know, useful for us, because we are the ones who are going to be using them for the next several years. Last and not least, and this is something we certainly agreed on very early with the Brazilian Java user group, SoJava, is that Java is global, and it has to be global. We're going to have millions of new developers joining us from China, India, Africa in particular, and in order for Java to grow as an ecosystem and as a community, we need the expert input from people outside of English-speaking nations. If we could go to the next slide, please, Heather. So how you can get started. The first thing we strongly suggest you do is to join the JCP, which stands for Java Community Process. In order to gain some voting rights on things like standards and a whole bunch of other benefits, it's highly recommended that your user group actually join the JCP. You can join, of course, the Adopt a JSR project on java.net. You'll see the URL there on the slide. If you forget, you can always go to adoptajsr.org to get yourself forwarded to the right place. There is a mailing list where we kind of coordinate all of our global efforts, and that is also on the slide there. It's just members@adoptajsr.java.net. And to make sure we don't all step on each other's toes, and more importantly, to make sure that we actually collaborate and share in things like workshops and hack days, we share lightning talks, we share code, all that sort of good stuff. We have a wiki page at the moment. We've got a nice matrix of all of the Java user groups that are currently involved in adopting a JSR and the JSR that they're actually adopting. So, for example, we've been able to collaborate with, I think it was the Cologne Java user group on one of the Java JSRs in London, and we certainly hope to see more of that sort of interaction happening. As an example, and we'll certainly open this up to feedback from you guys, is that I'm really hoping, and also with Arun and Oracle's help, that we have virtual boxes and that we have downloads available for all the Java user groups to quickly grab one of these specifications and to be able to work with it straight away and work with it, you know, online collaboratively with others. And of course, the power of Twitter. We would always appreciate that if people use the Adopt a JSR hashtag to get the word out to people, that would be absolutely brilliant. In terms of joining the JCP, Java user groups can join for absolutely free, so there's no barrier there financially at all. Again, it means you get a whole bunch of benefits. You can submit your own JSRs if you've got a particular area of the Java ecosystem that your Java user group would like to enhance. You can have your members join on the expert groups and also participate in the elections. So, for example, because SoJava and the London Java community joined the JCP early, we were able to be nominated or elected to the executive committee, and we've been able to sit on a few expert groups and actually offer our practical advice directly that way. So, guidelines for the feedback in terms of JSRs. One thing that we have to remember is that the specification lead and the expert group, they do get the final say. So sometimes it may be a little bit frustrating that you or some members have what you feel is a very good idea or a very strong opinion on a technical matter. At the end of the day, although there is a collaborative process on JSRs, somebody has to make a decision, and that is what the specification lead is there to do. So sometimes you'll have to be prepared that some of the opinions that you and your user group have won't make it in for a particular version. As I mentioned before, We ideally want to collaborate on a JSR because, to my mind, it's not as useful if let's say five different user groups all work on exactly the same thing, because that just gets confusing when multiple results get sent in. Sorry, if you can just put yourself on mute. That was? Okay, sorry. So it'd be great if we can coordinate more over the mailing list and in the IRC channel in terms of, again, splitting up some of the work that needs to be done, sharing virtual boxes that have got pre-installed instances of, say, Glassfish with the latest implementation of WebSockets on there, that sort of thing. And certainly, again, it's sort of a public relations thing, really, a little bit. If you are on a mailing list for a JSR, et cetera, it would be great if you could mention that you are part of this program. It certainly helps get the program off the ground. So a few practical things, because people always ask us, of what your Java user group can actually do. Moderating mailing lists, or actually helping steering conversations towards good technical conversations, in removing the politics or things like that out of the equation, would be absolutely fantastic. Sometimes on JSRs, you have different vendors who are sort of at loggerheads or who are fighting each other, and it's quite useful as a Java user group, as a neutral, to go in there and talk purely about the tech. JSRs never get enough attention in the tech media, so it would be great if you can inform your colleagues at your work or at your user group meeting that, a new JSR for WebSockets is on its way, or Lambdas is coming in Java 8, and we should all discuss that and take a look at it. Documentation is another strong area that needs assistance with. Obviously, the spec lead and the expert group are often very busy trying to work out the sometimes very difficult technical details of a JSR, such as Lambdas, for example, for Java 8. In order for them to be able to get feedback from, let's say, all of the Brazilian developers, some help is required for the documentation to be translated into Portuguese, or Brazilian Portuguese, as an example. So your user group can be very helpful with that. And, in fact, some user groups have already started on that, which is great. The other thing we're hoping to do, which is something that I want to have a Q&A about at the end, is that we do intend to have a GitHub site for Adopt a JSR and to start hosting some of these code artifacts that I was talking about. We obviously have the java.net project right now, which we're hoping to turn into a full community hub. And so we need a lot of help in maintaining those kind of things. And so that would be absolutely great if we could have Java user groups help out with that. And that also goes to the JSRs themselves. So instead of having Brian Gertz, working away triaging an issue tracker, we'd rather that he make sure that Lambdas gets in on time for Java 8, and that's another area that we can help out in. And here's the fun one. So what we are really hoping to get out of this year, and something that a lot of you actually gave us feedback on at Java 1, is that we have not, as of yet, organized enough hack days. So the best way a Java user group can actually help with a JSR is to simply take it for a test drive. So as an example, Arun will cover some of the Java EE7 JSRs, but the idea being that you can download the latest build of Glassfish 4, you can install the WebSockets reference implementation, and you can sit together in a group of 10, 20, even 30 people and just start firing WebSockets code at each other, or starting to talk to Facebook or Twitter via WebSocket, that sort of thing. And by simply using it practically as a day-to-day developer, the feedback you then give the JSR and the bugs you report and the extra features you want in the API are of incredible value. The hack days we have run in London, for example, for Lambdas have, given Brian an awful lot of useful feedback, which has directly changed the Lambdas specification. Likewise with the Java 8 date and time API, we held a hack day on that as well. So that is probably the best way, I think, that you can get up and running. Cool, we'll just go on to the next slide. Thanks. So again, you can download and review the latest specification where they're typically hosted on the java.net for that JSR anyway. And again, we're also hoping to start putting together, with your help, some sort of hack day packages, as it were. So maybe a small slide deck explaining the JSR, perhaps, especially in the case of Java EE 7, having that latest Glassfish already installed and prepared, and maybe a couple of small exercises that the user group can start to try and follow to get started. Obviously, checking things like Java docs, building some sample apps, that sort of thing is all very useful feedback. Cool. One extra thing that we are looking at starting, or have actually started, is that there is a transparency sub-project for each JSR that is currently existing. So with the changes that came last year with the JCP enforcing that there would be new openness and transparency around JSRs and standards, there's sort of a checklist that can be followed to help spec leads and to help expert groups make sure that they fulfill their obligations and that by being open and transparent, they get the extra help that they need. So there is actually a sub-project per JSR, which we're going to send out to the list shortly once we iron out the last few issues with setting up the community site. And your Java user group can actually go and check whether these transparency requirements are being met. So as an example, does it have a public issue tracker? Is there an open public mailing list? You know, are they actually responding to the feedback that you guys are giving them, that sort of thing? And I think that's it for me, is it?
Thanks, Martin. Yeah, that leads us through the slides introducing the Adopt a JSR program. I did put this slide together, collected from the wiki that Martin mentioned, which is great for you to fill out your wiki. And let us know that your Java user group is interested in participating, as well as putting links to the JSR that you're adopting. So we actually have 20 JUGs participating now and 23 JSRs adopted out of 29 active JSRs. So almost every active JSR that's going through the JCP right now has at least one Java user group that's interested in participating and helping out. So that's great news. And I just summarized here where you can go for more information on slide 13. Bruno, did you want to add anything that we didn't address in the slides before we move on to Arun's presentation, where he's going to talk about some of the particulars of the Java EE 7 JSRs?
Yeah, I just would like to make one comment, is that, you know, a lot of people that come, a lot of Java user groups or even developers that come to participate, there is a desire to help, and Yara likes to just say that there is some impatience in helping out. And so one thing that helps is to set a little bit, you know, that the user groups help out to set a little bit of expectations and understand that we're talking here about a standard process, and some of the things do happen slowly. And so even by just joining the JSR, just participating, start looking at the mailing list, it may feel that you're not doing anything immediately, but that's really how it started, and we have to have some patience to actually, you know, get the feel and the way of participating. So one thing that you as a user group can help out a lot is keep the interest, and that's why we keep talking about the Adopt a JSR everywhere we go, and because we need to keep the interest high, because standard process have its own pace, and the more we can help our developers understand that, the longer they're going to get interested. So just kind of set the expectations and try to help out with this impatience that we always have in trying to participate.
Right. So we're going to save some time for questions at the end, but Arun has a few slides that he put together. I have his first one showing on WebEx now, Java E7 Candidate JSR. So, Arun, I'll pass it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Java E7 is going through a major revision. And finally, we are on target to release it in Q2 of this year. So as Heather said, the JSRs are almost in a good shape, but we definitely need your help, you know, because that community input is what drives that. So what I'm giving you here is an overview of the Java E7, what we call as a pancake diagram. All the specifications that are in gray area, they're going through minor revisions. So for example, if you take a look at servlet, in 3.0 to 3.1, or bean validation is going from 1.0 to 1.1. Similarly, EJB, CDI, JPA, they're going through minor revisions. But there's a whole lot of new stuff and new content that is coming in the platform. So for example, JAX-RS is a major revision. There are a lot of new functionality coming as part of the JAX-RS specification, which is JSR 339. JMS 2.0. Again, this JSR is revised after almost 9+ years, and there is a lot of new functionality, a lot of catching up that this JSR needs to do personally, and that's happening. On the right-hand side, what you see is the brand-new functionality that is candidate for the Java E7 platform. So whether it's providing a standard API for socket-driven applications as part of JSR 350, or whether it's a standard API for JSON processing, or it's doing applications, there is a lot of new functionality that is coming in. Now, most of the specifications, barring one actually, they're all in public review already. So they're in a decent shape. That means no more features can be added at this point of time. But what we have done, the typical question that folks get excited about is, okay, I love JCP, I love JSRs, and I want to contribute. I don't know what should I do and how should I contribute. So if we can go to the next slide now. Now, before we talk about how do you help us out, most of the specifications are actually now integrated in GlassFish. So on the screen, what you see is a URL. So you can go to download.java.net, GlassFish 4.0 promoted, and then you can download the latest promoted build. In some cases, users have been downloading the nightly builds, but the integration is happening on a very, very active basis these days. The idea is all of these specifications that I'm talking about, actually go back to the previous slide only. Most of these specifications have been integrated, or their implementations have been integrated in GlassFish. So if you want to play around with any of these applications, they're all integrated in GlassFish. They also provide, NetBeans allows GlassFish 4 builds to be configured. There are Maven coordinates available. So there are a lot of things that are available for you to get started in case you want to play with the actual specification or the implementation. And we go to the next slide. So this is the point that I was talking about earlier. Now, you folks are excited. You want to participate. You want to contribute. You want to make sure that the JSR has your use cases incorporated. You want to spread the knowledge about the JSR. Martin talked about different areas where you can help. The most interesting area that I believe where you can help is actually test driving the implementations. And this is where we are trying to help you out. So if you go to the page, glassfish.org/adopt-a-JSR, the idea is we have worked with the different specification leads of the Java E7 platform. And as part of that, we have listed the exact areas where they are taking feedback. Now, as I said, the specifications themselves are in public review. So making a feature request and I was saying, okay, add this new feature would be hard to accommodate at this point of time. However,
API clarifications that, you know, I'm trying to use this JAX-RS API and it's not working for me, or what is the intended use case, or there is an inconsistency in the Java doc, or I saw this exception coming from this particular API and it's not documented, or inconsistency between the specification and the Java doc, things like those. Those are absolutely fantastic and valid feedback which can be incorporated even now very well. So if you go to this page, glassfish.org/adopt-a-JSR, then you can literally click, you know, there are some specifications which do not have a specific area of feedback listed, but if you click on the specifications that actually have a link to it, then you can see exactly the area where the spec lead has required, okay, has specified what is the recommended area of feedback. Now, on this page itself, we have a general area of feedback as well, you know, and that's what Martin talked about earlier in the call. It could be anywhere from just downloading the spec, reading through it, you know, reviewing the Java docs, or, you know, downloading the latest presentation, talking about it at your Java user group, and things like that. So that general area of feedback is absolutely valid for all the different JSRs. If you want something more specific that, okay, I want to participate in CDI 1.1, or I want to adopt CDI 1.1, what is the feedback that the spec lead will appreciate? So then you can actually get very specific and a link for the CDI JSR in this case and say, this is the area I'm providing feedback in. I think this page will give you a good starting point if you are looking for providing specific feedback, but general feedback is always appreciated. Next slide, please. Now, this is a list of the participating jugs that I am aware of at this point of time. And the level of involvement of these jugs is at, you know, all different levels. I have a couple of use cases that I'm going to highlight, but as you can see, there are about 18 jugs that are participating or have adopted different Java E7 JSRs. You know, SoJava, for example, these guys have been contributing to Scrum Toys very actively, you know, even in the previous. So the adopted JSR term is recently coined. SoJava has been contributing Scrum Toys for many years. Now it's becomes a little bit a more formal effort. So they are actually adopting JSF 2.2. They're adopting Scrum Toys to the most recent specification and adding features from there. London Java community, you know, these guys have done Hack Days. I know they have planned Hack Days for JMS 2.0. They've already done Hack Days for CDI and different other JSRs from the Java platform as well. So these Hack Days, again, you know, Martin can talk more about them, but these Hack Days are typically more, it could be a little bit unstructured that, okay, on this Hack Day, we're all going to download the implementation, we're going to try out, we're going to see what it makes sense. Or, for example, there was a Hack Day for adopt OpenJDK, you know, in which they said, okay, we're going to take care of cleaning up all the warning messages. So a more specific goal could be there as part of Hack Day. And I have one use case that I'll talk about later. So if you go to the next slide, now, this is one of the use cases that I want to talk about, Chennai Jug, and I believe Raj is on the call. These guys have decided that they're going to adopt a bunch of different JSRs. And what you're seeing here is the application that these guys have decided to make. Now, they have decided to pick up about 4 or 5 JSRs, I believe, and I have the number on the next slide. But as part of adopting those JSRs, they're going to take an application-driven approach. So what they're building is a simple application called as Urban Traveler. And as you can see on the screen, there are 5 different planes. So this is a cross-user, cross-platform application building. If you are South Asian region, then there's a Snakes and Ladders game that I think is very prominent over there. Then you effectively roll a dice, and depending upon what number you get on the dice, you can move that many steps forward. And that's sort of the game this is basically. So the idea is, you know, somebody rolls a dice, you know, on the screen. Everybody sees, you know, what number is being rolled, and there are cars in different lanes, and then they make progress that many steps. They've added different twists to the game where there are traffic signals, red, green, yellow, depending upon you lose your turn or you go your turn or you wait your turn and things like that. It's a cross-browser, so basically a player game that can be played, you know, by five different players on their home machines, where the game is hosted somewhere else, you know, on a server as well. So if you, on the next slide, yeah, this, right here, so look at it. You know, what is their model and how they are operating, for example? So they have adopted JPA. If I were to explain the game a little bit more, they're using JPA for the players to log in, log out. That's where their credentials are stored. JSF is used to sort of create the front-end interface and play around with it a little bit. Batch JSR is used to alter the traffic signals. Now, there are multiple ways you can do that, but there is somebody in the Java user group who is passionate about batch, and they said this might be a good use case. So the point that I want to highlight over there is no right or wrong way of doing things. It may not be the best design pattern, but it still allows you to explore the API and carry your passion to the next level. JSON, you know, all the data payloads, for example, are done using JSON processing. Of course, this is cross-browser, you know, so that's where the WebSocket peer-to-peer communication comes into play. So I can just kind of give you an idea of what you can do as part of your JUG to build an application and adopt this different JSRs. Now, of course, all of this would require downloading the specification, understanding the API, trying out simple Hello World samples, looking at the Java doc. So there are different collaboration tools that these guys have adopted. Now, they have a Google Doc where a complete design document is available, in the sense what tools they're going to use, what specifications they're going to use, how the game is going to look like, what the game specifications are, what the rules of the games are, all of that, very, very elaborate. Then there's a Google Plus community that these guys have created where they exchange messages very regularly, and I've been included in the discussion as well. All of their source code is hosted on GitHub, so it's a collaborative sharing. And this is Chennai JUG, so these guys are all local. So that way, you know, they have met sometimes in a local food court. That's sort of their meetup point. Or they're doing more active Google Plus Hangouts now. You know, they're doing that more actively. Sometimes once a week, you know, I know this for the coming weekend, they actually have scheduled two Hangouts. So I think over a period of time, folks tend to enjoy this process, and then they start meeting more actively and making more progress. Now, one thing very typical and that may happen with a Java user group is, for example, in their case, it started with 11 people. It started with 11 people, everybody expressing interest. I like this. I want to do it. But eventually, it came down to 5 people who are contributing very actively. So this is where, you know, your quality matters over quantity. So I think I'm just giving you a use case from the Chennai JUG, and this is what may happen with your JUG as well. Go to the next slide. Now, Belgium JUG. This is another Java user group. So, I mean, I gave one use case where they have adopted multiple JSRs across, you know, the platform, being a comprehensive application, a lot more formal, things like that. Belgium JUG Hack Day. You know, they are planning a Hack Day in the Belgium JUG. They're adopting a single JSR, just JSR 356, which is Java API for WebSocket. And literally the way this thing started is, Johan Vos, you know, he is part of our open source community, you know, porting, he started playing around with Tyrus, which is the implementation of Java API for WebSocket. He said, hey, this is cool, and our JUG should really adopt this. So now they are planning a Hack Day as part of Belgium JUG, so it's going to basically going to be a Hack Dojo. And as part of Hack Dojo, they're going to build a tic-tac-toe game, which is cross-browser. So, you know, two players can play tic-tac-toe, which is noughts and crosses game, as you can see on the screen. So they're going to build this game and then get started with that, and they're hoping that they will be able to achieve it in a day. Now, as part of that, the Belgium JUG has filed several bugs in the Tyrus implementation. They are even taking it to the next level where Johan Vos is on the way to become a committer of Tyrus. So the point that I'm trying to tell you is you can, the contribution can vary from simple, you know, contributions where you're just downloading the spec, reading it, presenting at your job, talking about it in the social media channels, to all the way becoming a contributor to the RI, even writing spec proposals. So I think Adapter JSR Wiki has a very good different levels defined, starter, intermediate, advanced levels, which is what you should take a look at in case you want to get involved and say, you know, how much time do I need to contribute to these activities? And I think that's about my last slide. Oh, actually, one more slide. Go to the next slide, please. Right. So these are my references slides. The last URL is the one that, you know, that is, should be of direct concern to you guys. So glassfish.org/adapterjsr. That's where all the details about these different Java E7 JSRs and their corresponding work, you know, that you can take a look at. It would be very useful. I think that's about it from my side.
Okay. Thanks, Arun. So I think there were a couple questions coming in on the WebEx chat that we can address. And if anybody has any questions or comments that they just want to bring up now before I turn off the conference record, I'll go ahead and leave a few minutes for that.
Anybody have any comments? Heather, this is Bruno. Arun was showing different examples of how you can help. It's on the call. It's Dr. Spock, Alberto Lemos, and he's running the Scrum Toys project. So it's another way of I'm not sure if you want to talk about this, Spock, but another way for a user group to do is to do some education material. So Scrum Toys is a set of education tools to teach Java surfaces. So and it's being updated for the new JSR. And I think that's another way that user groups excel in promoting and educating. When you do these educations on JSR, they're still being created. You help out get the awareness and help out on more people experimenting while it's still being developed.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. So I'm going to turn off the conference record. Thanks for joining. But if you want to hang on for a few minutes, we can just have an informal discussion. So just give me a moment to turn off recording.